We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Sometimes in talking to members of the church, especially those who grew up in the church, they will tell me about fond memories they have of attending gospel meetings when they were children. And they will tell me about how they would go around to every meeting and how their parents loved to hear the gospel preached. And as children, they would take them in tow to these meetings. And some of those, we have several here, who had daddies who were gospel preachers. And they remember going with their daddy and hearing him preach meetings, and they've got fond memories of that. And I love to hear people tell stories about things that happened at gospel meetings through the years. Maybe about the song leader who fell asleep, or the memories of the scorching hot days in those buildings with no air conditioning. And sometimes people talk about the days when the windows were open and a bee would fly in or a bat would come in, and how the preacher would preach for hours. And I love to hear stories about things like that. And sometimes I hear older members of the Lord's church talk about holding gospel meetings in tents before they even had buildings. And that's very interesting to me. I've never been in a gospel meeting that was held in a tent, unless you count a brush arbor in Africa. But it sounds like a nice memory to have. And I think about my kids. I think one day they're going to be older and they're going to be sitting around and they're going to be talking to each other and say, "Do you remember the time that Daddy went to the gospel meeting without his shoes?" And they'll laugh about that. And they're great memories to have as Christians. And I like to talk about that. I like to hear about that. I like to hear people who are proud of their Christian heritage and they think about things that took place with the Lord's people from days gone by. And some congregations will load up a caravan of people and they'll travel long distances to attend gospel meetings. I think we ought to do that. I know the congregation at Duncan, if there's a meeting within like 100 miles, they'll get a group of people in some vans and they'll set out and they'll stop along the way and they'll eat supper together and they'll attend the meeting and then they'll come back. And but what a great thing to do for fellowship. You're visiting and you're riding together and then you stop and eat and you laugh and you're joking and you're fellowshipping and then you go hear the gospel preached and you sing and you come back. I think that's something we ought to try to do here. You know, this next Sunday, this next Lord's, actually this Friday, this is a different meeting. We're starting on Friday night. This next Friday night, we're going to begin our gospel meeting here at North Charleston. And I hope that you will do everything you can to promote this meeting. We've got flyers out there on the table, and I hope that you'll do everything in your power to attend every one of these meetings. It's not going to be a long meeting. It's Friday night, Saturday night, and then the regular services on Sunday. And Brother Jim Dearman is an excellent speaker. You'll really enjoy hearing him. This morning, I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to talk about 15 reasons why I'm going to attend every service of our gospel meeting. Now, I saw the look on somebody's face. I said 15 reasons, and they thought, "Oh no, this is going to be long." They're short reasons. 15 short reasons I'm going to attend every service of our gospel meeting. Here they go. Number one, I'm going to attend every service of our gospel meeting first because the Lord has told me to. You know, a very well-known passage of Scripture that was read, in fact, in the Scripture reading this morning is Hebrews 10:25, where the Lord says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, you know, if that were the only passage in the Bible that addressed this issue, that would be enough. Because if the Lord says something one time, it is binding on us. But we're going to observe in this lesson that there are a lot more reasons given in the Scriptures why I should attend faithfully. And so I'm going to attend every service of our gospel meeting first because the Lord expects me to. And brethren, let me say this. You know, it's not just the gospel meetings that the Lord expects me to attend. You know, a faithful Christian is one who is going to be here every time the doors are open, unless there's something beyond his control that is preventing him. You know, sometimes people will think, "Well, are you saying you expect me to be here three times a week? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? That's too much. Don't you know I've got a life?" Can I tell you something in a very kind way? The person who says that is not going to go to heaven. The person who says that's not going to go to heaven. Somebody says, "Well, you show me the verse that says I've got to come back on Sunday night and I've got to be here on Wednesday night. Where's the verse?" Here it is. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, "and all these things shall be added unto you." The Lord's church and service to His kingdom should come first in your life. You want another one? Matthew 22:37. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, and all of thy mind." I'm starting to get off the subject just a little bit here and talking about attendance, but it relates to what we're talking about. I'm going to be here because the Lord expects me to be here. Number two, I'm going to be at every service of our gospel meeting because it is a delightful way to obey a scriptural commandment. You know, there are many, many passages in the Bible that command me as a Christian to learn the Word, to fill myself with the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. If I want to be approved of God, I've got to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If I'm not studying, I need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. 2 Peter 1 and 5, he says, and besides all of this, give diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. As a Christian, I've got to be seeking to add knowledge to my life, to build me up spiritually. Now, how am I going to do that? The only way that I'm going to study the Word, the only way that I'm going to grow in knowledge is spending time listening to preaching, spending time studying the book, spending time at my house reading and delving into the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How am I going to do that? I'm going to have to spend time with the Word. 1 Timothy 4 and 3, till I come, give attendance unto reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. John 5:39, Jesus told the Jews, search the Scriptures. How am I going to do these things? One way I can do these things is by attendance at our gospel meetings. You know, it's very interesting to me because sometimes people will come to me and they will ask me a question. Sometimes people who come on Sunday morning only will come to me and they will ask me a Bible question, and it will be something that we talked about in Bible class. Or it'll be something that we just covered in a Sunday evening sermon. We just had an entire sermon on that subject, and they would know the answer to their question if they had been here. But you see, they're not adding that knowledge. They're not growing in that area because they're not here. In the gospel meeting, you will hear the Word proclaimed. Old truths will be enforced. We will be filling ourselves with the Word of God. And so I'm going to attend every service because it helps me to obey a scriptural commandment. Number three, I'm going to be at every service of the gospel meeting because it is my desire to imitate first century Christianity. You know, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the church we read about in the New Testament. It teaches what they teach. Its leadership is patterned after their leadership. It teaches the same plan of salvation. It follows the pattern that they did. And any church that's not patterned after the first century church we read about in the New Testament is not the New Testament church. And so, attending every service of our gospel meeting will make me be like them because that's what they did. You know, Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they, who? Those new Christians, those new converts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Steadfastly they fellowshiped together. Steadfastly they listened to the word proclaimed. Acts 17 and 11 says about the Bereans, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures. Listen to this. Ask yourself, do I do this? And search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I'm going to come to every service of the gospel meeting because I want to be like the Christians were in the first century. Number four, I'm going to come to every service of the gospel meeting because I have a son and two daughters. I have children that I want to go to heaven. And I want to instill in them faithfulness. I want them to understand that the Lord's church comes before everything else. And I have an opportunity to teach them about that when I am present for every service of the gospel meeting. Even if I have to rearrange my schedule, even if I have to change around some things in my life, if I have to do that, what have I taught them? This is more important. I'm going to be here for the gospel meeting. You know, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When my children are grown and they're not in my household anymore and they're making their own decisions, I want them to have seen some lessons in priorities when they were little that will help them to make decisions then. Ephesians 6 and 4, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, this next week, I will teach my children a lesson in priorities. Now, I might teach them a bad lesson, or I might teach them a good lesson. But one way or another, my actions are going to teach them a lesson in priorities. Number five, I'm going to be at every service of the gospel meeting because of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I like to be with them. You are my favorite group of people in the world to be with. You know, Romans 12 and 10 says to Christians, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. There ought to be a special relationship with Christians. You share something that you don't share with other people in the world. You know, Galatians 6:10 says, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially they of the household of faith. There's a special relationship there. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We ought to have that type of love for our brethren, unlike any love we have for another human being. Christian love is special. And I know that my attendance is going to affect my brethren. You know, Hebrews 10, we often quote verse 25 that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But listen to the previous verse. Listen to what he says before that. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's very interesting to me. That the text says that I should consider my brethren and then I should be here. Clearly, he is teaching that my attendance has effect on those around me. And the second part of that commandment can't even be obeyed if I'm not here. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, I can't exhort my brethren if I'm not here. You know, we've got some here at North Charleston who have made an intensified effort to be faithful in your attendance. And people see that. And that's encouraging. I know I can look around and see several people that I recognize, and I know you have been trying so hard to be here and be more faithful than you have in years past. And that is uplifting. And that is encouraging. And I think there are many of us who would say that we recognize that and see that, and that lifts us up. But you know, my absence will also have an effect on my brethren. Have you ever been to not necessarily a gospel meeting, but have you ever been to a worship service on Sunday night or Wednesday night and there's hardly anybody there? I mean, it's just empty. It's like a ghost town. What kind of effect does that have on you? It just kind of pulls you down and you think, well, nobody really cares. And you know, I'm trying, but the church is just not growing like it ought to and people just aren't concerned. It's very, very discouraging. Now, when we're all here like we are today, we've got a good crowd of people and you're singing and you're encouraging and we've got a growing congregation and people who are active and busy, that's so uplifting. I'm going to be here because my presence has an effect on my brethren. Number six, I'm going to be at every service of the gospel meeting because I want to do good. I want to abound in good works. Sometimes people come to me and sometimes I ask myself, what more can I do in the service of the Lord? Here's one answer to what I can be doing to be busy about the Lord's work is to be here. You know, James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the funny thing about this is I don't think anyone would dispute the point that being here at a gospel meeting is a good thing. You could ask any member of this congregation, do you think it's good to attend every service of the gospel meeting? And I think everybody would say, yes, that's a good thing. Being absent is a sin because it's a failure to do a known good. I want to abound in good works. You know, in Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13, it's a very interesting verse describing the judgment scene. And John writes there, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the judgment. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books. Listen to the last part. According to their works. He says on the day of judgment, there are going to be some books open. And it's going to be a record of the deeds of your life, the works of your life, and you're going to be judged according to those things. I'm going to be here every time because I want there to be good works written in my book. You know, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Lord says in chapter 2 and verse 2 to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesus Church of Christ, I know thy works. Chapter 2 and verse 9, he says to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works. To the congregation at Pergamos, I know thy works. 2 and 19, to Thyatira, I know thy works. To Sardis, I know thy works. Philadelphia, I know thy works. Laodicea, I know thy. He says over and over and over to these congregations, 7 times in 2 chapters, he says to these congregations, I know thy works. Why is he stressing that? Why does he keep saying that? Because when he gets to the end of the book, The Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. He tells these congregations in the beginning of the book, I see your works, I see what you're doing. In the end of the book, he says, you're going to be judged according to those works that I see. And I know what you're doing. So I'm going to be here. Number next, I'm going to be here because I want to be consistent. You know, I teach that Christianity is a life commitment. That you have to sacrifice yourself. You sacrifice your all. That you're to seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, we just quoted that in Matthew 6. You're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then if I turn around and I'm not present at every service, I'm not being consistent. Indeed, I look like a hypocrite. You know, Titus chapter 1 in verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but their works do deny Him. They profess to know God, but in works they do deny Him. You know, if I am going to go out and teach people about Christ, and I'm going to say I'm a Christian, I'm a member of the North Charleston Church of Christ, and then I don't come like I ought to, I don't attend, do you think this could be said about me? They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. I can ask myself, how can I effectively invite other people to the gospel meeting if I'm not going to come? I couldn't do it. It wouldn't be consistent. So I'm going to be here because I want to be consistent. Number eight, I'm going to be here at every service of the gospel meeting because I want to protect and maintain my good influence. You know, as a Christian, I don't ever want to do anything that's going to hurt my influence for the cause of Christ. You know, one of the things that oftentimes helps keep me from sinning, you may think this sounds crazy, but one thing that helps keep me from sinning is knowing that somebody might see me. Now, somebody says, wait a minute, you ought to avoid sin because you want to serve God. I do. But you know, one thing that helps is, what if somebody sees me? What's that going to do to the church? What kind of effect is that going to have on my reputation? Think of the destruction that will come as a result of that. You know, Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its preserving influence, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. If I lose my good influence as a Christian, I've done something bad. That's hurtful to me. You know, I have oftentimes made the statement that I don't know of many things that are more harmful to the church than a Christian who doesn't live like a Christian. Because if you wear the name of Christ, but you don't live like a Christian, you're doing more harm than good. You're hurting the name of the church. It'd be better that you don't tell anyone that you're a Christian if you're not going to live like one. Because when I lose my influence, I become a detriment. You know, I was holding a gospel meeting in a place one time, and during the week, one of the elders took me out to lunch, and we were just talking. And he told me that the elders of that congregation were concerned because one of their most prominent families had decided that they were going to go out of town instead of come to the gospel meeting. He said they had gone down to Hilton Head for a vacation or something. And he said they were very influential members, and the man and the woman both taught in the congregation, and this gospel meeting had been planned for a long, long time. And their concern was this. They were teachers of the young people. And they said, what kind of influence is this exerting on our young people? What kind of effect is this having on them? That they're teaching them, and then a gospel meeting comes, and they're not here. And I thought about it. I don't know all the circumstances. I don't even know who the people were. But I appreciated the concern because of this principle that we're talking about, my influence. They were concerned about what type of influence they were going to have. You know, Paul taught Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. And of course, that applies to every one of us, not just preachers. Of course, Paul was talking to a young gospel preacher, but that applies to every one of us. Let us be an example to the believers in our speech, in our conduct, in our attendance patterns. I'm going to attend every service because I want to maintain my good influence. Number nine, I'm going to attend every service of the gospel meeting because it helps to keep my spiritual temperature high. You know, there is a passage in Revelation 3 that's it's got very interesting wording. In Revelation 3:15 and 16, Jesus says to this particular congregation, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, what was the Lord saying to them? He was saying, you as a congregation, you're not cold. It's not that you're just dead and spiritually gone. It's not that. But he says, you're certainly not hot. You're not setting the world on fire with your busyness for the Lord. He said, you're just kind of in a state of existence. You're kind of here sometimes and you say that you're a Christian, but you're really not acting like you are. And he says, it's repulsive. It makes me sick to my stomach. He says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm in your Christianity. I'm going to participate in every service of the gospel meeting because I want to keep my spiritual temperature high. Number 10, I'm going to be here every time because I love the church at North Charleston. I love the North Charleston congregation and I want to support the functions to help it grow and to prosper. You know, sometimes it seems like we can't do enough. And sometimes it seems like we aren't doing enough. But ask yourself, am I supporting what we are doing? Brethren, I love this congregation and I have committed myself to work under the elders of this particular church and I want to support the efforts. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I think he's talking about work and things like that, but the principle is the same here. When you're going to do something, be diligent. Don't be lazy. Do it with all of your might. And so I'm going to be here at every service. Number 11, I'm going to be here at every service because I respect the authority of the elders. You know, Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul told the Ephesian elders to take heed to themselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers to feed the flock of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. He said, you elders have the responsibility to feed the Christians spiritually. Feed the church spiritually. And Hebrews 13:7 says, obey them that have the rule over you. Talking about elders. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And so the Lord says, you elders have got to watch for the souls of these people. And then He says, Christians, submit to the elders because they're watching for your souls. And so when the elders designate a time that we've got a gospel meeting and says you need to be here, this is good for your souls, and we're doing this for the good of you, if you choose not to submit to them, you're really bucking the Lord, not the elders, or you're bucking the Lord and the elders. But the Lord said, submit to them. And if I refuse to be here, I'm refusing to recognize the authority of the elders and God in this matter. And so I'm going to be here every time. Number 12, I'm going to be here every time the doors are open because I want to keep my scale of values properly adjusted. Again, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want to keep my values right. I don't want to ever fall into the trap of deceiving myself and thinking that there are some things that are more important than the work of the Lord. And if I'm here every time the service is taking place, I'm going to keep my scale of values properly adjusted. Now, I almost hate to tell this because I think I embarrass her every time I tell this, but I think it's a good thing. I've got to tell something about my wife here. My wife graduated R.B. Stahl High School in 1988, school right up the road here, and they had scheduled graduation on Wednesday night. And so her family went to the school and tried to make effort to get it changed to another night because worship services were that night. And Mr. White, who was the senior class advisor there, publicly mocked them for doing that. And of course, they just ignored it and they blew it off and had the graduation anyway. Well, she had to make a choice whether she was going to go to the graduation or whether she was going to be with the Lord's people. And she was here. She came to services on Wednesday night. Now, somebody might say, well, I think she made a bad decision. You know, that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. She should have gone. But I would say what Jesus said about Martha to Mary. He said she has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Luke 10:42. You know, in eternity, you will never regret the times that you chose the things of the Lord over the things of this world. You will never in eternity sit back and say, I wish I had gone to that secular function instead of going to the gospel. You'll never regret that. If you go to heaven, you'll never regret the times you chose to be faithful. You never will. But if you don't choose to go, you will regret it. Number next, I'm going to come every time the doors are open because I love the truth. You know, we sing a song that says, I love to tell the story, and I like that song. The fourth stanza says, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. You know, it's always been interesting to me in preaching the gospel that the people who know the Bible the best are those who love to hear the sermons the most. They're the ones who pay the strictest and closest attention. And those who don't study their Bible and those who aren't here like they should, they're the ones who go to sleep during sermons. Those who know it best are those who love to hear the story. I'm going to be at every service of the gospel meeting because I love the story. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you hunger for the message of God's Word? Do you thirst for the truth? Do you have a deep, deep desire to be what you ought to be in the eyes of the Lord? Number 14, I'm going to be here at every service because I love the Lord and I revere God. Listen to this passage and ask yourself this question. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's a very interesting question. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Ask yourself, is my love for the Lord genuine, or is it just words? Jesus was asking the Jews of His day, "Why are you calling me Lord if you don't obey me? It doesn't make sense. If you're not going to obey me, don't call me Lord. If I'm really your Lord, then you're going to obey me." John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And because I love the Lord, I'm going to keep His commandments, and thus I'm going to be here at every service of the gospel meeting." Here's the last one, number 15. I'm going to be here at every service of the gospel meeting because I am going to be judged by the Bible. I want to know this book. I want to hear it proclaimed. I want to know it inside out and backwards. I've made it a goal for myself that I want to go through every verse in the Bible and understand every verse in the Bible to the best of my ability. Why? Because I'm going to be judged by it. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And you know, the fact is, whether or not I know the book, I'm still going to be judged by the book. And so I'm going to be here at every service of the gospel meeting. Now this morning I have given you 15 reasons why I and you should attend every service of the gospel meeting. Can you think of one reason why you should not?